Our reading for today begins in Luke chapter 9, verse 18. Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 18. Now it happened that as he was praying alone, the disciples were with him. And he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" And they answered, "John the Baptist. But others say Elijah, and others that one of the prophets of old has risen." Then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "The Christ of God." And he strictly charged and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." Let's also go over to Matthew chapter 16 and read a parallel account there where Matthew gives a few more details than Luke does, not because he generally does that, but simply because he approaches his gospel account a little bit differently than Luke does. But let's read in Matthew 16, beginning in verse 13. Also, as a note, I said this was parallel. We don't know if this is exactly the same occasion, but it does contain the same type of account. So we're going to go ahead and count it. Matthew 16:13. "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter replied, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.' Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you.' But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man.' Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." In yesterday's reading, I talked about the disciples undergoing a test of faith as well as a moment of growth in their faith. Today's reading reveals to us a moment in which Jesus tests again whether they are coming to a true faith in who he is. And so he asks that question about his identity. Who do people say that I am? And then who do you say that I am? And Peter does make that confession that he is the Christ, the Son of God. Normally, we would say that confession is an important step in faith because it's the moment in which you're willing to make your faith public. It's the moment in which you want everybody to know, "I believe in Jesus Christ and I am going to follow him." But here, after they've made this confession, Jesus tells them, "Don't go telling everybody. Hold it in." And we've noticed other occasions in which he's done that. We've had classes where we've talked about situations where Jesus did something miraculous and then told them, you know, don't go tell anybody, but the person who has been on the receiving end of that miraculous event has been unable to keep it in. It's something that they can't hold in because it's been truly an incredible life-changing thing for them. But here he's telling his disciples, don't go tell everybody. And then he tells them why. Because I must suffer and I must be rejected and I must be killed. And that's startling. Imagine the disciples, they're developing this close personal relationship with Jesus and they're following him everywhere. And he says, I'm going to be killed. It's a shocking moment for them. And Peter expresses that shock when he says, you know, far be it for this to happen. You know, I'm not going to let this happen. I'm going to do something about it. This shall never happen. And Jesus rebukes him because Peter hasn't put two and two together yet, logically, to see that it is part of the plan of God for this to happen. He's not just predicting that people are going to do this to him and it's of happenstance. No, it is part of the plan of God. And that's why he would be a hindrance to adopt that type of an attitude. So Peter needed to learn a lesson there as well. And before we give Peter too hard of we're too hard on him at this point, I want us to realize that Peter tends to vocalize the things that I think a lot of the disciples were thinking too. He's just the one that'll speak up about it. Jesus then begins to talk to them about taking up their cross and on a daily basis and following him, saying whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And ask that very, very important question, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? You know, this physical life is minuscule in comparison to our spiritual existence that is eternal, that our actions and our faith has eternal ramifications. And he wants them to begin thinking in this way, that whatever they suffer, whatever Jesus suffers, it's nothing in comparison to the eternal plan of God. When we make this statement, taking up one's cross, we tend to think in very physical terms, that the cross was heavy and it's a burden and it was something that, you know, Jesus had a hard time carrying. Someone had to help him with it. And so we think about a burden, but it's not always so. That's not the only thing that it can mean. The emphasis is that it's something that has to be dealt with on that daily basis. And if you really take that to its end, then you realize that Jesus carried that cross in order to die on it. So if you try to relate that to us, then when we take up our cross daily, we are accepting all the ramifications of being a disciple of Jesus, even if it does mean death, even if it does mean to suffer. The problem is, a lot of people don't prepare themselves for any level of suffering as a Christian. And in reality, compared to the first century, we really don't suffer that much. Maybe we'll have some ridicule. Maybe we'll, you know, not have some of the friends that maybe we'd like to have, or we won't get as far in the workplace as we might have done. Something along those lines. That's a lot of what we face, and that's minuscule, again, comparing to the first century. But we have to realize that when Jesus said that if anyone is going to come after him, they must deny themselves and take up that cross daily and follow him, that means that we accept whatever comes along with being a Christian. Being a disciple of Christ is an all or nothing proposition. We have to take it all. We have to give our all. We have to give our whole being, give all of ourself into being a Christian. That might mean I give up some of my plans. It might mean I give up some of my hobbies. It might mean I give up some of my friends. Whatever it means for you, you have to be willing. And if you're not willing, then you're not really taking up your cross. These things that we work for in this life, relationships we cultivate, all of those things, they are not the highest priority. The kingdom is the highest priority. Our spiritual well-being is our highest priority, and that is worth dying for. That's what Jesus is trying to communicate. It's fundamental to following Jesus to understand that concept. It is worth dying for. There is nothing you can gain in this life. Not family, not wealth, not things, not hobbies, nothing. There is absolutely nothing you can gain in this world that is worth forfeiting your soul for. So the challenge is to get outside of the fact that we live in so much comfort. You know, we live in a society in which even the poor among us would be considered wealthy in a huge chunk of the world. You know, we have comfortable homes. We have comfortable clothes. We have a comfortable car. You know, maybe we would have liked to have had something different than what we have, but the fact is we do live in that relative comfort. We have medicine that helps us to feel better when we're sick or we're ailing or we're hurting. Again, maybe we'd like to be free of some of the pains that we have, but still, we have medicines that take us a long way. We have entertainment. You can go home every single night and turn on the television and watch something different to entertain you than yesterday. You can engage in all sorts of hobbies to entertain yourself. And we complain when we have the mildest of inconvenience. Oh, it's raining on a day in which I wanted to go hiking. It's cold on a day in which I wanted to work in the garden. It's, you know, all these inconveniences that really are just so small. Where's our sacrifice for Jesus? Am I willing to suffer inconvenience? Or am I even willing to go as far as the first century Christians did, that we could be killed, we could be jailed, we could be badmouthed, we could be derided, we could be have somebody that follows us around everywhere telling everybody that, you know, we're deluded and that we're spreading something that's false? Will I give up my time, my wealth, my family for him? In order to follow Jesus, I have to embrace any cost that must be paid in order to serve him. So perhaps we need to pray today to realize the incredible blessings we have and to realize that we need to accept the cost of serving him on a daily basis. And we need strength to do that. We need courage to do that. We need faith to do that. We need to pray for all of these things. And of course, please continue in prayer that God may be with all of us.